Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The MLB draft. Does anybody know the MLB draft is going on tomorrow?
Isn't that the reason why we're doing this podcast right now, Gino? An emergency pod to give you round-by-round coverage of Major League Baseball's draft?
We're talking about the 2021 NFL draft.
Yes.
10 months away, or the NBA draft that's going to be in October. And, oh, yeah, here's baseball. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's tonight. Yeah. Let's just, like, it's some fantasy league. Oh, when do you want to do it? Let's do it. Next Wednesday sounds good. Yeah, let's do it.
The Sports Bar After Hours. Welcome on in. Thank you for joining us here. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. Gino, let's get back on baseball for a second, because I remember when we were back in the day actually in our home studio and having the debate. I think I remember saying something to the effect of, at some point MLS will overtake Major League Baseball in terms of fan popularity. And with each passing day that they don't get a deal done to start a shortened season here, I can't help but think that what I was saying last year, partially in jest because I know how passionate you are as a baseball fan, might actually come true fruition. I mean, even Major League Soccer has a return to play plan. And by the way, a compelling return to play plan with a tournament right out of the gate. If you're a soccer fan, you're going to eat that up.
Well, and you said it to piss me off, and I'm sure that it was. But on the other hand, if you are going to just kind of single out, hey, let's look at, I don't know, the 12 to 18 demographic. Who cares about them? I don't know. They might be sports fans coming up here that will have money 15 years down the road. So baseball is so short-sighted. This is the example, right? Fix this now. Don't lose any share. I'm a baseball fan through and through, and a lot of Sports Bar listeners are.
Of course.
And we're going to be back regardless, but for the future of the sport, you're not growing the base. In fact, it's getting chipped away. The NBA, 25 years ago, was not number two in this country. Clearly now it is, okay? There's just no debate about that. And for baseball, and you brought up back in the studio, you had a really great storyline pre-COVID. And by great storyline, I mean,
you had a villain.
Who would be tuned? You had a villain. America hated the Houston Astros and couldn't wait to watch Altuve and Springer and all these guys get hit. And chances are, if you're a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan or whoever, that was going to be compelling television. It didn't happen. And now when eventually baseball will figure out, and they're going to have to. I mean, they're going to have to. But the idea that you could have been the first one out of the gate, the idea that the 4th of July, you could have had a spectacular day of baseball, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Cardinals, rivalries everywhere. And instead of that, maybe we'd be lucky to have some sort of, can't even call it spring training if it's the 4th of July, some sort of training to get ready for a watered down schedule. It's very disappointing as a baseball fan.
It's very baseball, if you ask me. I don't remember baseball being anything but this, and it's why I'm probably not as big a fan as you are. Now, I can appreciate the sport, I can appreciate the game, and I can appreciate the experience. I don't think it's a great TV product, but I think in person it's one of the best things going. And so I can appreciate all of those things and still look at it and say, I have a fear that baseball is going to lose out in popularity, in terms of fan popularity, within the next 5 to 10 years, it will fall behind other professional sports leagues. It already has fallen behind the NBA, and I think it very well could someday fall behind MLS, and someday soon, by the way.
No, it's never going to fall behind MLS. I'm sorry. I mean, that's I don't want to go down that road here. You're going to get me fired up. But can I bring up a point? And this is a fact, okay? In the Jordan era, the NHL and the NBA were on equal footing. They were. And that is absolutely true in terms of dollars and franchise values and everything else. And you could say it was Jordan that took them to another height, but you could say it was complete mismanagement by that idiot Gary Bettman, who allowed the neutral zone trap, as Linda Cohn, who came on our show, once said. It was that sent hockey in the wrong direction. It was actually a labor dispute that cost an entire season. You know what happens when things go away? People find out there's other things in life that are pretty cool, too. So for me, hockey is still paying for the mistakes of the 1990s. Hey, baseball, why don't you learn from other sports that these things do happen? Baseball got saved, and it's interesting that they're going to have the documentary on Sosa and McGuire. It was a fun story, right? Even though now we look back at it, yeah, a fun drug-induced story. But sure. That did kind of capture the American imagination. And you did have a Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. You did have the Yankees in the year of 9/11. You did have interesting baseball storylines that kind of brought the sport back to life. Okay, well, what are those storylines right now? You better hope you have some of those good storylines. And I would not suggest pumping your athletes in steroids like you did back in the mid-90s to get back your place in the sporting world.
No, my hope is that fans don't forget about Houston. Just don't forget. You know, when the game comes back, keep in mind that they are the villain, that they did what they did. Don't forget. That. Don't let time forget and time away from the game make you forget as a fan what those cheaters did and what kind of villain they are to the game right now. And with that, then maybe you have a little bit of drama and a little added incentive. But, you know, it's something that was brought up earlier this evening on my Twitter feed. And you just brought it up when you were talking about the NHL taking a year off. Like, do you miss sports? Hey, have you missed sports? Pop actually tweeted me. So I'm just kind of curious. I was, Gene, if I can paint a picture, I was there right outside the clubhouse, sitting on the patio, the back patio there at Ravenwood. Our buddy Mike, you know, the Ravenwood, sponsor of the sports bar. Mike walks by, and I'm there because my kid's golf team is practicing on the putting green and the practice green, and he's walking by, and he's like, "Parents, don't be shy. Don't be afraid to get a drink." And I'm like, you know what? I'm an easy sell tonight, Mike. I'm going to go and get me a cold one, and I got a cold IPA, and I'm sitting down, and I'm like, you know what? I'm curious. I've got time. I want to know what is on the minds of people that are following on Twitter, people that listen to the show. And Pop was one of the guys that responded and said, "Have we missed sports as much as we thought we would over the last 3 months?" And his answer is yes. Oh God, yes. And I would agree and echo that sentiment, but there are elements that I think if it were to go away, would you really, really miss it long-term? There are things that I miss. Man, do I miss the postseason in the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, one of the best products in all of sport. And even though the Sabres weren't going to be in it, I was looking forward to, and I look forward to that each and every year. That first round of playoff action is just always a bloodbath and so compelling and so much fun to watch. I label it barf, cry, and die, because if you have a team that's in there, that's what you feel like doing every time you're watching them play. I miss that. I miss golf. I miss watching golf, and we'll get a return to that this weekend. What is that going to feel like and look like? Actual golf, not a charity match, not a made-for-TV event, which, by the way, all entertaining and all fine and good, and for very good causes, and the ratings being as huge as they were for Tiger and Phil and Brady and Manning, that you know, kind of tells you that there is an appetite and that we will watch. And I'm sure that this weekend you'll see a lot of the same thing, that you will see people tuning in just to get some action, just to watch golf of all things.
Yeah, I think if I could use one word that to tie everything, it's tradition, right? What is it that we miss about sports? Well, like if you like the Masters, that's a tradition. And when you talk about the Stanley Cup finals, yeah, that's it doesn't matter who's in. It's great the days the Sabres were in and it brought it to a new heights. But you're a Blackhawk fan, whoever your team is. If they're even if they're not in, it's a tradition that you're going to watch. It's a tradition that I'm going to stay up until the cup is awarded just so I could hear Gary Bettman Booth. Side note, if he is awarded the awarding the cup in an empty arena, does he still get booed? It's kind of like the tree in the forest thing. But that's what I'm missing. It's all these points on the calendar. The Masters. That's like having baseball, sure, like that, having just the random Wednesday night game, not a tradition, but yeah, to some degree, I miss all of it. But on the other hand, and I talked to my brother, he's like, yeah, I'm getting into NASCAR since it's on. I haven't been searching out new things. I haven't really gotten into Korean baseball.
But
or
cornhole
NASCAR
is
or...
so hot right now, Gene. If you... I mean, you're going to be a converted cornhole fan if you're not into it already. Just you give it a chance, buddy. Just give it a shot. You'll see. And they're socially distant. They're wearing their masks. They're compliant. It's some hot action.
Don't tell me. I play my own cornhole.
Hot so, I mean, cornhole yeah. action on ESPN.
Well, look, we should produce Botch. Right?
Oh, Butch. Yes.
Yeah. How come that's not Atlanta? Yeah.
Nathan also sent me a tweet when I asked, how we doing? What's on your mind? Nathan sent something back that, just as a reminder, how lucky we are to have two great minor league franchises in Rochester with deep roots here in the community that haven't left while others have. The Wings have been here for 121 years, the Amerks for 65 years. Really missing Wings games right now. Nathan. Yes. I mean, is there anything better than going to Frontier Field on a hot night like tonight where you can go to the park, watch some action, have a cold beer and a dog and or whatever your food of choice is and just soak it all in? It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Fireworks that especially around 4th of July, that's going to sting. And yes, missing Red Wings baseball tradition. Going out and you went with your dad. Now you're going with your kid. These are the things that you're going to miss. Not having Amherst hockey in October, Gene. What are you talking about? Well, no, the season's not going to start on time, and that's going to go for the American Hockey League too. So who knows when we'll see the Rochester Americans back on the ice? And so yes, I think Nathan is absolutely correct that all these things we took for granted, and here it is, the first time in over 100 years we're not having baseball in Rochester, New York. It's like we're all kind of George Bailey here. Here's what your world would look like without sports, and hopefully we all get it back here. So when it all comes back, it's going to be nirvana, right? And again, there's so many variables, I don't want to go into all that, but just imagine a world in the fall where we do get college football and the NFL and a Sunday of the final round of the Masters, rescheduled Masters, and yeah, maybe baseball does figure it out, and maybe the NBA playoffs in the finals in October, we get a nice matchup.
Yeah, it's so weird, though, isn't it, though? I mean, I just think of like a weird Disney title for the NBA or the NHL postseason, just being it's all different and weird. And I've been the one that's been saying all through this whole pandemic that different isn't necessarily synonymous with shitty, that it can actually be better or can be, there are positives to come out of all of what we've been going through. I just don't know that those positives are going to come in the form of some kind of a weird postseason being held in Orlando for the NBA or some kind of weird postseason with almost the entire league involved for the NHL.
Yeah, and then who knows what we have in the NFL. You got the story today, Danger, that you could have, and I don't know if this is a trial balloon that you're just kind of putting out there. Kind of curious to me, like right now, like why do this now? Like, hey, we could chop the NFL preseason in half. Okay, are they doing this for COVID reasons, or are they doing this as we don't really need this? Here's one thing I do know about NFL owners. They love money. And they could say, hey, these games were going to be played with fans. It would be, how do you explain this to your TV partners who are desperately looking for programming? And by the way, as NFL fans, we are in the Sahara right now. I would gladly watch David Fales and the New York Jets against any other crappy quarterback in this league right now. Usually it's like you watch a series or two. Okay, I'm done with it. Yeah, give me a preseason NFL game right now. Wait a second. you're going to cut the NFL preseason in half. I know most people are giving the, yes, this is overdue. We need this. But I'm just curious as to why right now. You're going to cost you money, actually, if you don't have the preseason.
Yes and no. I mean, you know, a shortened preseason, maybe it cuts back on expenses as well. I mean, if you think about the way businesses operate, you know, they don't have soul. They are only accountable to their bottom line. And you don't have to give them very much of a reason to do something that eventually will pay off or will eventually make them more money. Now, the TV deal is a problem, right? I mean, if you're scheduled for four preseason games and that's what your TV partners are expecting, you cut it down to two, you're leaving them in a lurch a little bit. But I got to imagine that they're not just floating out this idea as a travel balloon. You're giving, they're basically saying, look, it's the same thing with media access, by the way, Gino. Like, we're not going to get the kind of access that we used to get. Why? Because they really didn't want to ever give us that kind of access in the first place. Now they have a good out and a good reason to not allow media into locker rooms to give us the kind of access that we've become accustomed to over the course of time. And I feel like it's the same thing with preseason games. Like, players don't want it. Coaches don't want it. Nobody really wants more preseason games. Now you have a convenient excuse to have less on your schedule.
I think coaches want it in a perverse way. I think they do. I think this is the time where they kind of enjoy, and I know NFL owners want it, but if they get to a point, 4th of July, yeah, you know what, these games are not going to have fans, I could very easily saying, all right, you go to the TV networks, what kind of make good do we owe you if we have to cut your preseason schedule in half? And who knows, maybe there is a clause in there that says, in the case of a pandemic, blah, blah, blah. So, or am I just kind of overspeaking on this? Meaning, could it just be as simple as, hey, there's a risk if we're going to play two extra games. Why screw this up for a meaningless preseason game? Let's not get each other sick when we don't have to in August. Let's kick the can down the road 2 weeks, and hopefully by September everything's fine.
I don't know. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of Josh Allen and his workouts and everybody that's there. It's not like they're practicing social distancing guidelines, Gino. Really, what are we talking about here? I mean, not to get off on a rant, but give me two sets of stats when it comes to COVID. Show me the numbers for people that are over the age of 60 with pre-existing health conditions, and then show me the numbers for everybody under the age of 60 that are in pretty good health. And I think you're going to see two very different stories. And I'm not trying to be flip about what's going on. I'm compliant, and I don't want to see anybody get sick, and I'll follow the rules because I don't want to see anybody that I love in my life contract or potentially die. And my heart bleeds for anybody who's gone through that with a family member or a friend, but I think you're going to see two different stories. So the athletes that are finely tuned machines are probably more capable of being out there and sweating on each other and spreading germs, if that's the case, and not contracting this. Now, you know, we saw in the NBA, yes, this is what Rudy Gobert is going to be a great trivia question somewhere down the road. A great answer to a trivia question somewhere down the road. Like, they're not immune. They're certainly not immune from it, but man, I was standing outside today in 100-degree weather. I'm a human, and I don't know how I survived that. I don't know how a virus is surviving through the summer. We'll see. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. But I feel like that the coronavirus, it's probably an easy excuse and easy out, and less about the actual safety of the players that are involved. The fans, different story. And knowing that we are in the kind of litigious society that we are, if a fan were to go to a game and proper precautions weren't being taken and they decided that they contract or they, worst case scenario, die, and the family decides to sue because proper precautions weren't being taken, now you've gotten to the root of why they might say, two preseason games might be better than four.
I'm not worried about the players, but what about the coaches? You know, what is the average age? And I don't know the answer to this, or your NFL head coach. Sean McDermott seems like he's a guy that is in top physical condition. You really can't say that about every NFL coach, right?
What are you talking about?
Let's take away Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I mean,
Andy Reid's BMI is gravy. He's fine. He's healthy. That guy, there's nothing wrong with Andy Reid.
Bill Belichick, he's 67, right?
Yes, great mood. I'm sure his blood pressure is even keel.
Yeah, so, it's at some point, and you do have the story of the five Alabama athletes testing positive. So, again, what's a positive test? right? And all the rules that kind of go into this. I mean, okay, so somebody tests positive on the Buffalo Bills. Does that mean that they have to quarantine for 14 days and they miss 2 weeks of action? And you're raw. Gosh, this year is going to have to be flexible in so many ways. But you bring up an interesting point in regards to the lawyers. That's what this is really all about,
yes,
right? Whether it's the workplace. It's not about, hey, what's practical? What's the best? It's, oh my gosh, if I didn't do everything, am I leaving myself open for a lawsuit?
That's right.
The problem with this country right now. It's we're an over-litigious society.
Yeah, that's where we are. I mean, Gino, I don't want to get to Michael's question. Michael, who reached out on Twitter earlier, who wanted to know, when are you back on the air? Okay, so here's the deal. Like, you know, both Gino and I have been ordered to work from home. We're not going into the studio. We haven't been to the studio. At least I can say I haven't been to the studios since the middle of March. It's been 3 months since we've been in our studios at High Falls to do our show. We've got the podcast and we're trying to, you know, continue to do this and keep you up to date with what's happening, not just here locally, but everywhere. And, you know, we have fans of the show. We want you to continue to listen here on the podcast. And hopefully a day comes where we can go back into the sports bar and do our regular daily 3 hour show. But that day, when that day comes, it will be met with 14 days prior of us isolating to make sure that we're not bringing anything into the studio, because God forbid we bring something into the studio, get somebody else sick, and now we've got a whole, and again, worst case scenario, here comes a lawsuit that you know, now the company is liable because they didn't protect all of their employees and they didn't make it so that, you know, everybody could come back to work in a safe fashion. This is where we're at now. Multiply that times 100, and you're talking about, you know, what is happening in these professional leagues. It's no small lift for these leagues to talk about a return to play. And if you're not taking all of these precautions, at some point it could bite you in the ass.
Yeah, there's still a lot to get figured out. I mean, and to bring it back to baseball here, okay, they want to get a season going. Anybody brought up the point that you can't cross the border yet? Like, what do you do? Like, are we just going to play baseball July 4th, 10th without the Toronto Blue Jays? Yeah. Or do we just kind of relocate them for a year? I don't know.
I think that'll be interesting, because it really seems like the NHL is going to be deemed essential travel and that they're going to be able to freely cross the border as needed. I don't know that baseball is considered essential north of the border. We'll see how essential the Blue Jays are here if baseball gets their stuff together and we actually do get some sort of abbreviated season from them, if they're able to come to terms with everything that's going on there, Gino. And look, just to put a finer point on Michael's question, nothing would make Gene and I happier, and I'm speaking for Gino because I believe he feels this way, that we were back, that we are back in the studio, and that rather than the Will Cain show every day, you've got the sports bar, and we could talk about local sports, and we can be Rochester's only local sports talk show. I mean, nothing would make us happier, but we also have livelihoods, and we also have, we serve the servants, and they have told us to work from home. And there's a very good chance we could be continuing to do this podcast through the summer. In fact, I would bet on that through the summer, you know, if you are jonesing for the sports bar, it will come in this form. It will come in the form of a podcast. And then, fingers crossed, maybe when football season starts. I mean, we're already missing out on Fisher and Buffalo Bills training camp. That's a blow to our show. That's a blow to Rochester. You know, hopefully, if the football season comes off without a hitch and things are off and running in early September, maybe there's a return to the sports bar. Nothing would make us happier, but you got to understand, you know, these decisions kind of out of our control. We're controlling what we can control, which is, hey, right now, let's do a podcast and let's go through some of these bigger events that have happened here over the course of the last few days.
Mike, I've been strategic in trying to ask upper management without becoming like the 12-year-old who repeatedly asks for something, you know, like ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. Like, but, you know, so I know there's a fine line, you know, that, but the reality is right now, as far as games to talk about, I think once we get games, and by the way, there isn't a day, multiple times a day, whether it's an email, a tweet, friends, family, listeners, hey, when are you guys coming back? I appreciate all those questions. And believe you me, I want to be back because there's plenty to talk about. But our station too, you know, just not the sports bar, but what will come back is, well, we ESPN Radio carries the NBA postseason.
Yes. And
that will be something. And ESPN Radio carries Major League Baseball and the big one, of course, the Buffalo Bills. And when we get back to that, when we get back to fantasy football season in August, those are going to be the things that people will come back to our station. So that is my hope here. But the analogy I draw, and Mike, you have two daughters. I've got a son and a daughter. We went through this. Any guy who's had a wife that is expecting and it gets close and maybe you're past due, like Julie was asked, you know, 2 weeks, and you get asked every single day, hey, the baby come? Did the baby come? I would tell you if the baby came. You know, it's like, yes, yeah. Yes, I definitely want the baby to come. And yes, I definitely want the sports bar back, which we will be.
We'll make a lot of noise and you'll know about it when it happens. But if that's not satisfying enough, then I would tell the regulars of the sports bar to follow the advice of one of the pioneers in sports talk. I remember him saying this all the time when Rochester was one of his first affiliates. Bang your monkey, right? Rome used to say it all the time. Bang your monkey to get.
Well, you're
you know,
the monkey.
Yes, but this is a decision above the program director, right? Like as the program director, yeah, I would love for us to be on the air. It goes beyond me. And, you know, there's a little contact us button that allows you to send your feedback on our website. If you go to ESPNRochester.com and you bang on that contact us button, it usually will get to some eyeballs that will take into consideration your concerns. If you're tired of the Will Cain show, and by the way, the Will Cain show is going away. I'm not really sure what ESPN Radio's plans are long term for Afternoon Drive if the sports bar weren't to return. But, you know, the chances are that some sense of normalcy returns. Yeah, hopefully we're able to return as well, but don't bet on it happening anytime this summer. In fact, I would say September would be the earliest that you may get a return from us in the sports bar, Michael. And I appreciate that you're asking the question, and I appreciate everybody that's reached out, whether it's on Twitter, via email, even, you know, I've got some guys that have slid into the DMs that are saying, hey man, what's going on? What, you know, Gene, you're right. I mean, like, you'll know when we're ready, you will know, and you'll hear about it, and we'll make sure that you're in the loop in terms of a return to the sports bar, hopefully sooner rather than later.
I know. I was talking to Mark over at one of our sponsors, the Old Stone Tavern, went over there. Like, you went, we're definitely when we get back and running, like trivia night, and he's got a lot to figure out there with all the news. But yeah, there are things that are going to come back. So been asked that, will we have trivia nights? Yes. But as far as being out and remote broadcasts and public appearances, there are so many rules with any business, and we've got to follow those rules here for the time being when it comes to being out and about.
All right, Gino, I think we did a good job this evening getting a little caught up. It's been a second since you and I were able to chat, and a lot has happened in the world since our last episode, and I'm kind of glad that we stuck to sports. I'm not saying that there are things out there that are not bigger than sports. Clearly they are, but I just think to myself, you know what, for everybody that says that now is the time to have the kind of discussions that we're having, I can't disagree with you. You go first because I want to keep my job. That's kind of been my stance on what's going on. Like if you would like to, you know, have that conversation, we can have that conversation. I just don't want it to cost me my job when it's all said and done. And so much has happened and so much outrage and emotion over the events of the last couple of weeks, really. You know, none of it is good, but I think when you kind of calm down and you divorce yourself from emotion and you look at the way everything goes and the progress that's being made, the progress that I do believe is being made, you know, maybe it satiates us. Maybe we get to a place where there is more equality and things are improving and we're evolving for the better. But man, there are so many little instances and stories where I've read them, I've seen the reaction, and I scratch my head and I really ask myself, is this real life right now? Is this really the best we can do? And man, I hope it's not.
Well, I in the last time we kind of went down this road here, just listen. That's my advice. When it comes to these issues, listen and read rather than speak and spew out opinions. You're on social media, I call it an echo chamber. Why? Because their friends and pretty much your friends are going to spit back what you want to hear, and the like button feels really good. But you know what? That's not really giving you the other side. And that's why a lot of us, myself included, I'm kind of getting sour on social media because I don't need to be bombarded with all these opinions. But I think what's going on now is going to hopefully be the start of something good in this country. And I hope a lot of people would. Let's listen and let's try to figure it out. And I'd say this too. Part of the thing is that the world has gotten a lot smaller. And follow me on this, okay? Say, you know, why do so many contractors advertise? Because they want to make sure that the profession of home repair is, you know, there are 99% contractors that are honorable and will do the job, and you can be partners with them. It is the one crook who ends up on the 13 Wham News or something that gives everybody a bad name. Does that mean every contractor is bad? No. Okay, that does not mean that. Unions do a lot of good things. Okay, they do. But then there's one story of somebody across the country who did something bad. Does that mean that everybody is crooked? No. No, it doesn't. Okay, and yes, we do have some issues that need to be overhauled with the fine men in blue. But I would paint that with the same brush too, that it's not an all or nothing thing. It's not an absolute when it comes to these things. Well, so that's one side I would like to listen on. Yes, we do need reform, but it's don't paint four criminals in Minneapolis here and make everything all about that.
I will say that, you know, having the conversation that we're having right now and hearing you say, you know, essentially what you're saying is a couple bad apples, right? Like, and bad apples is... it reminds me of a bit. I think Chris Rock did it on his, I want to say it was his last Netflix special where he was telling, you know, bad apples is a pretty nice thing to say about a murderer. It's a pretty nice name to call somebody who murders another human, takes another human's life. And there are some professions where you're not allowed to have bad apples. Pilots need to be on their game all the time. You can't have an airline saying, you know, we have a lot of pilots who feel like sometimes they can land. You know, like, it's not an option. And maybe that's what this comes down to, is all of us holding all of us together, holding each other to a higher standard when it comes to our profession and who we're bringing in and who's being hired and who's being given responsibility and how they deal with that responsibility and making sure that. And more than and like, I don't want more government giving me rules and telling me what we have to do and how we have to comply. I would much rather say, you know what? We're all adults. Can we? I mean, I want to believe that we're all adults. Can we hold each other accountable and some personal accountability and better choices? Can we do that? Because I know that most of the time when we stray or make a mistake, it doesn't take long for us to realize, oh my God, I've made a mistake. And even with the worst case scenarios, even in Buffalo, when you see the cop pushing the 75-year-old guy down, like, they didn't, you could argue, oh, he didn't really, as soon as he went down, he knew that he was going to get it. He knew he was in trouble. He knew that what he did was, you could see his reaction right there on the film. Now, I don't know what's in his heart, but.
Here's my other side of this too. Okay. Is that, now, in my world, I think we should have zero tolerance when it comes to racism. Why is this so hard? Okay, it should not be hard. If you see racism, call it out for what it is. You don't need to be getting emotional, but you can distance yourself. You can detach yourself. If it is a business, if it's an individual, you just cut that person out. Okay, there is a way. I do like this story of how everybody is just ditching the whole CrossFit thing because somebody said something unbelievably dumb. Okay, well, there are consequences to your words. So if we all got in the mindset of, hey, just calling out for what it is, and there are consequences. Don't give me this freedom of speech thing. Hey, freedom of speech is not freedom from consequence, okay? That is a basic lesson here in this country. So if you see racism, call it out. We grew up in an age where a major league owner was a blatant racist. Who am I talking about? Marge Schott, Okay, so we have come a little ways in this country, but like if you ever encounter anything like that, call it out for what it is. That would be step number one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Gino, I mean, the CrossFit story ain't all that bad. I mean, at least now you won't have everybody that does CrossFit telling you how they do CrossFit all the time. I mean, all the time. I do CrossFit. Do you do CrossFit? I do CrossFit. I do CrossFit. You hear, they will tell you about it constantly. Well, maybe that goes away now, given that story. And look, I hear what you're saying. And you know, the term racism to me now has been so watered down. I mean, if you're going to label a guy like Drew Brees racist for what he said, when he's done what he has done for a community of primarily black folk in New Orleans, I don't know that I would say Drew Brees is a racist. And if he is, then real actual racists are celebrating and welcoming in with open arms because they just made their cause look a little bit better. I don't know that I believe that. And I think that term gets thrown around pretty liberally now and sometimes unnecessarily.
Well, I don't know. Like, no, he doesn't deserve that. But it goes back to my original point. Drew Brees actually kind of took the time to listen and learn and not just give the 2016 response when he came to the flag. That's that was his number one mistake.
I think the timing of his comment is the thing that hurt him more than anything. And we know this because we're in media and we see it happen to our contemporaries. Sometimes it's not what you say or how you say it, it's when you say it. And to say it in the middle of when cities are burning, to say what he said, I think probably was a little tone deaf. And by the way, the apology, please, if you're going to get caught up by the mob, don't apologize, because it doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. The stock image of the black fist and the right white fist, you know, holding arms like they're going to arm wrestle. Like, okay, is this Rocky III? Are we, what's next? I mean, do we need Carl Weathers to solve all of our world's problems? Is that what we need? There is no tomorrow. Is that what we're at? I mean, the apology is weak. You know, if you believe what you believe, he has to do it because it's good for business. And I guess that's my bottom line with everything that we're talking about here. Why is there a shortened preseason? Well, probably because it's good for business and they don't want to get sued. Why does Drew Brees apologize? It's good for business. Why are companies everywhere woke? Being woke right now is good for business, and they will do it because of that reason. I don't know that I believe genuinely that the people that are as supportive as they say they are truly that supportive, or if they're just doing what they're doing because they know that right now, given the time that we're in, this is profitable. It's good for business.
I hope it's not. That's not the number one reason. I hope it's that we've like got to change our ways here. And yes, I'm going to bring up this topic. If you're a fifth-round pick and you're expendable, and what Jake Fromm said, that's my point. Now, you could say, what's the difference between what Josh Allen tweeted out? And we could have a whole debate on that. But again, words, consequences, private conversation, is that going to – well, I don't know. There was a racist NBA owner that had some private conversations with, I don't know, was that a transvest? I don't know. None of it is, don't care. But Donald Sterling had secret conversations that were racist. We all knew he was a racist, but she got him on tape, and he's out. Okay, so I guess that's really the topic. If Jake Fromm said something in private, is that fair debate or not? My point is, this guy, not even a fair bet to make the roster. So now, why not set an example to this guy that is not with the Buffalo Bills standard?
Yeah, I think they handled it the right way. I honestly do. I don't have any problem with Leslie Frazier actually being the guy that kind of got in front of this and managed the kid through it and managed the team through it. And I think they handled it the right way. Was what he said stupid? Sure. Have we all sent out text messages and friends and confidence and thought to ourselves, you know, that might be inappropriate? Yes. I think all of us are guilty of doing that. Some of us are more guilty of it than others. And to know that it is a private conversation, to hear that it got leaked out and now you're being held accountable to what you thought was a private conversation, that's a little jarring. And so if you're Jake Fromm and your apology was not a paper apology, it was in front of your teammates, now that has some weight. Now you know a little bit more about how he really feels and what's in his heart. It's not something that was pre-written or stock from, you know.
He had no choice.
Yes, and that's the, by the way, that's the right way to handle it. If you're Drew Brees, don't do the stock, you know, canned apology with the stock image of the arm wrestling white dude and black dude. Let's do a real, you know, in-person apology. And, you know, I believe he did that with a bunch of his teammates. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I think a bunch of teammates that were originally upset at him basically said, look, we're going to be fine and we're just going to move forward and put this behind us. And he's going to listen and we're going to, you know, do our thing. And I think that's what's going on. Look, if you want justice, if you're mad at Jake Fromm, take it out on him at practice. If you're Trey White and you're really that upset, the first time you have him in practice, the first time you have a chance to go up against him, if you have a chance to go up against him, make it known where he stands. And he'll have to show you through his actions that he does belong on this team and that he does deserve to be a Buffalo Bill. I have no problem with the way the Bills handle it. I feel bad for Jake Fromm. I think he probably regrets texting what he texted, and I'm sure it's a lesson he will learn and in a time in his life he'll never forget.
Well, yeah, and he's got some work to do. I mean, there's going to be some people that will never forgive him. And again, I don't, you know, Nate Peterman was a fifth round picks aren't supposed to start in the NFL. Fifth-round picks are more often than not roster fodder. I mean, that's what they are. So he would have to really impress to get something beyond a practice squad spot for the Buffalo Bills
right,
this
I'm
year.
I'm just going to mark this audio right here. It is June 10th, 2020. Jake Fromm starting for the New England Patriots 12 months from now. Let's just mark that down.
You know, this is actually where I missed the caller interaction. Can I just say here, too? You don't have the answers, Danger. I don't have the answers. If somebody is listening to this right now and said, hey, Gene, you're missing a point on this. Yeah, I want to listen, okay? this is where I think a bigger conversation and talking with our sports bar audience. Welcome to feedback here on Twitter.
Absolutely. He's at Gene Battaglia. I am at AKA Mike Danger. You're in the sports bar after hours with Danger and Battaglia here at ESPNRochester.com. Gino, let's try and set something up for later on this week. We'll do this again. And Jeremy from Jeremy White from our sister station had a really good idea. I think he misunderstood my tweet from earlier when I was enjoying an IPA on the back patio at Ravenwood, and I lumped that in with the idea that we were going to do a podcast. I think he was confused. If we're doing these podcasts with beers at Ravenwood, I'm pretty sure we would be the envy of the entire industry. So maybe that's a field trip down the road that we can take with one of our fine sponsors here in the sports bar.
Wow. Dude, do we have to run this by Entercom management, Danger? I think we're just doing get our hands slapped. We're helping a client out here.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's right. We're not there yet. We're always happy to support a sponsor. We're not there yet, but maybe we get there again soon someday. That would be my hope and my dream.
Oh, wait a second. The Cubs are on the clock here, Danger. We got to run here.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad we were able to get it in. The emergency podcast for Major League Baseball's draft that Gene didn't even know was happening now. Mr. Baseball fan over here. Gino, great hearing your voice. Let's talk again later on this week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew.
And thank you for listening. The Sports Bar After Hours here at ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. Thanks again for listening and stay healthy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.